Hey, it's Mal.
And Maddie, and this is Smatter of Fact.
Just two best friends dabbling and speaking with superficial knowledge on our subjects.
In other words, a smattering of facts. I cannot help myself every single time you say
You're like
your
lip
line
syncing.
to like lip sync it with you. I love it. I'm like, oh, what a bop. Does anyone else do that? Do you say it with us? Do you know it at this point? If not, fake fans.
If you don't have it memorized.
You really should. I mean,
It did take me
Brandon,
a while to memorize it though.
yes, we had to read it for a while, but Brandon and like my parents have like our ad memorized too. I don't even know what our
Oh.
ad says, but they like
The ad
quote
for
it to me.
Anchor that's automatically put in every.
Yep. Well, you
See,
know,
now I've.
it's actually not automatically put in. I put it in every single time.
No, but like I've had people too, like from when I was at school, like be like free
Free
$99.
99, as I
And
like to say.
I'd be like, what? Be
I
like, your
the
ad. And I'm
the
like, I
first like
haven't heard
several
that.
times my parents did that, I was like, I really do not even recall. I don't even recall recording that.
We literally like
We
did it
did
in
it
like,
two takes.
yeah. And like, I haven't heard it since we recorded it, so
Yeah.
I don't
Yeah.
remember
Well,
what
and then the thing
chaos.
is like you can skip ahead. You don't have to listen to the
I
whole
know.
thing.
I know. That's really funny.
Well, I guess on Spotify, I don't know about other platforms, but like Spotify, you can 100% skip ahead, regardless if you pay for Spotify or not.
Yeah. I don't get it, man.
I don't know. Yeah.
Something funny though
Oh.
that came up. The other night I was like, well, first of all,
She's
husband was
back,
out of the
chick.
house. What?
Husband was out of the
Well, just
He doesn't have a name, it's just husband.
husband Jaeger, whatever. And so I was like, I'm going to take this time to just like relax, give myself like a little like spa time. Like I just wanted to like take a bath.
I bet Jaeger was jealous. He looks a good spa day.
Does he? I
Probably
don't.
he wears a bathrobe around all the time.
That's just for like warmth.
He
He
likes being cozy. He likes
does.
being pampered. I bet he would like a face mask. Like a
Yeah,
sheet mask.
he's done them before with me.
Yeah.
But so I was like, I'm gonna take a bath because I like, never take a bath, and like everyone's always like, baths are so relaxing, and they look relaxing, and
Till
everything
you
like that.
overheat, then you're like, I need to
Exactly.
get out of here as quickly as possible.
Yeah. So every single time in my like adult life, like since I have been like choosing to take a bath, not like
Right.
actually like as a child, right?
Sure.
This is like my third or fourth bath I've ever taken, and every single time it goes like something goes wrong to where it's just a total fail disaster.
Oh
Like,
no.
oh my goodness. And so like the first time I think I like made the water way too hot, and I got in, and I was like, instead of adding more cold water or like waiting a little bit, I literally was like, I'm just gonna like tough it out. And I literally like completely overheated myself, and I was like sweating profusely, and
Wait,
I was like
so
feeling faint. Like
do
I
you're like someone who like fills up the bath before you get in?
I don't know, is that I don't know how to bath,
I don't
babe.
know either. I don't know how to
Yes.
bath. But like this is what I do. I turn the water on to let it like preheat. And then I
Yeah.
get in, and when it's at the correct temperature that I actually want to sit in, then I like stop the thing and I let it fill up and adjust the temperature as it's filling up.
That's a good idea.
Because I was scarred from, sorry, mom, from when you were like, take a bath as hot as you can, like when you're sick, and then my mom would have it at like 200 degrees, and like
Literally like just
she'd be
under
like,
boiling.
climb in to this hot bath that I drew for you, and I was
I
like,
just
you are going to boil me alive. My skin is going to fall off of my bones, like.
remember as a kid like getting in the bath, and like if it was too hot, like I don't know what, it would make me so itchy. Like I would itch,
That's a
like
thing. I
Like
would heat and cold sensitivities, that's a thing.
I just remember I would get in the bath and I would just be extremely itchy.
Interesting. Okay, so what happened this time though?
So that was the first time. The second time
Okay.
I filled up the bath, it was perfect temperature. I get in and immediately my foot somehow popped the thing or whatever, and so it immediately started draining and I couldn't stop it back up, and so
Oh
it just drained and I was
no.
like,
Oh no.
I was like, I'm not trying that again. Like, I'm already
You already
frustrated
took
that.
the bath.
Yeah. And so this time, this is like a different type of bath. It doesn't have its own stopper, so I just got one of those silicone
Oh,
just circles that you just put over and it just seals it, right? Because it's like the type of drain that just has the little holes. It's not
Yeah.
you can't put anything into it or anything. And so I seal it up and I get it filled up, perfect temperature. I put in special lavender body whatever
Bet you got those at
bubble
your
bath.
your bridal shower.
Yeah. And it's smelling good and I get in. It's very relaxing, but I don't know if I didn't seal it properly or whatnot, because as soon as I laid down, I don't know if it was the pressure or something of me sitting in the bath. It started draining.
Oh
But then I shifted my position to where I was sitting
no.
and it was fine. But if I tried to stretch my leg, I don't know, it was very weird. I was experimenting and I was like, what is a way I can sit in here that it doesn't start draining? And I filled it back up a little bit because it had drained a little bit, and then it just was like I it just kept draining, and it's like a very loud gurgling sound. And I was like, well, it seems like it's going really slowly. Like maybe I can
Yeah.
just relax until it drains out, and then I'll just get out.
Yeah.
I'll still get at least maybe 10, 15 minutes, because it was going really slowly, but it was just the really loud gurgling sound, and I was like, I cannot relax to
This
this.
is not relaxing.
And it's like, and I don't want to just sit up crisscross applesauce like I'm a kid. Like that's so uncomfortable, and I'm not
No, but
warm
see,
and
what
I'm
you gotta
cold.
do is you gotta. Is how is the bath positioned? Is it in a way where you could because my bath is right next to my toilet, and so what I
Yeah,
do is
it
I take
is.
my laptop and I put on a show, and then I sit up facing my laptop and just relax that way and watch my show.
Yeah, I just it got to a point where any position I tried, it just like
You know what you should have done? You should have gotten those paints, and then you could have sat crisscross applesauce and drawn on your walls with the bath paints.
True.
That would have been fun. Or like
Yeah.
shaving cream. Did your mom ever let you
No.
spray out shaving cream and let you play with it in the bathtub?
No, that sounds really fun.
It is really fun. You know the really foamy stuff that you get, like the silk kind where it's only a little thing and you're like and it's
Oh.
like whipped cream kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know, sometimes we would use my dad's and sometimes we use my mom's, but it was you got a giant handful and put it on the edge of the tub, and then you could put it on the wall and then draw pictures in it. It was so
That's
fun.
fun.
Yeah.
Wow. We never did that. We had foam letters that you could stick on the wall and I just spell out words and whatnot.
So
And chew on them because the foam tasted good. Apparently.
what?
I also used to eat stickers, so
Ew, I was gonna say, I used to every once in a while take a little taste of Play-Doh to see if it tasted
oh my
any
gosh,
different. It was
ew.
just so salty. So,
But the other problem is
and you
I'm
think eating raw cookie dough is weird, and you're over here eating stickers?
yeah. Well,
What?
but I don't know. I just like the way the paper dissolved in my mouth. I
Ew,
don't
that's
know. I
so
don't like
gross.
cotton candy.
No, that's nasty. Poop. I don't. Well, this is also the thing. I have a huge aversion to stickers in general,
Yeah. Well, honestly,
so I could
I kind
never
of hate
put one of them in my
stickers
mouth.
too.
I like because
I don't
it's
know.
such a huge thing in dance to give kids stickers at the end of class, and I'm
Well,
always
that's fine. The stickers that really irritate me is any type of sticker on a product that I buy like any sort of like kitchen
Oh,
thing
yeah, those are the
that like I
worst.
have to
I
like
don't want to touch them. It feels so
that like
nasty to me.
yeah that I have to like try to scrape off because they never come off in a nice just like clean swipe like
That's so
ugh.
true.
But yeah, and then
Oh,
there's like the whole element of like the bath thing, going back to that, because like
yeah,
I'm kind
obviously.
of tall and so like I don't
Oh,
really
yeah.
fit in the bath, like a standard bath, like shower bath.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know. I really want to love baths because I think I would like them.
I really want to love that.
And then, oh, get this. So not
Okay.
only did like the water situation happen the other night, it also gave me a heat rash like on my hips. And so and then
When
I was
you
just like really itchy and irritated the rest of the night,
when
and it dried out my skin a lot, so
I was a kid and I was in the bathtub, ours had like those little like oval like kind of like non-slip things that were like built into the tub, like it's just like
oh, okay.
slightly raised so that you
Yeah.
like non-slip or like the slight ridges or something. And all the time, because like it's so much fun in the bathtub, like especially when you're a kid and you're like small enough to like push off back and forth. I would like push off back and forth and like come out of the bathtub and be like, "Mom, my butt hurts so badly." Like, that's because you keep sanding it
Like a
on
friction
the
burn.
bottom of the bathtub. And I just like never learned my lesson on that one until like
That's so
obviously as
funny.
an adult, but like as a little kid, I was just always like, it hurts. Because then like the hot water, it's the whole situation. I used to play, we had so many, now you got me on baths, but
I
we used to
know.
have so many bath toys that were so fun. We had like this net and like all these like other toys. And
That's
then,
fun.
oh, I also used to play with my littlest pet shops in the bathtub.
Really?
But I had like specific, because you know how I had like almost like 80,
Yeah.
90 of the individual animals? Well, I used to, I had some very specific ones that could go in the bathtub. Like I was very, I had, they had very clear structure about like their role in
Yeah.
society. So
Yeah.
the ones that could go in the bathtub.
I had actually, I think, a couple. Either one or I had one for sure Barbie that I would take in the bathtub only because she was a mermaid and her hair changed
Oh
colors
my gosh,
like with
the
different
dream.
temperatures. So it would be like purple hair when it was like cold or dry. And then when you put it in the warm bathtub, it turned bright pink.
That's so fun.
And so literally it was like a mermaid that like had color changing hair. And that was the coolest thing ever. Like,
One time, Gretchen and I decided in the bathtub, because we were playing with Barbies and for some reason had access to scissors. We decided to cut all of their hair.
some in the
So,
bathtub like spotty.
yes, I think that is quite literally what we
Um,
were thinking. We got in trouble for that one.
that's so funny. Those were expensive,
Yeah.
or at least
Yeah.
our parents made us seem made it seem like they were
Yeah.
expensive. I don't know how expensive they really were,
I don't
but
either. I don't either.
oh
Anyways, what's our
man.
topic today? I'm kind of dying to know. Is it
So,
bath related? Are there baths in it?
no,
Ugh.
it is like body of water.
Oh, body of water.
So,
Okay.
once again,
Are we
this
doing a
man made
conspiracy theory?
no,
Oh.
but it is like another like shipwreck sort of tragedy
Oh gosh,
situation.
why are we doing so many shipwrecks
I don't
and
know. It's like
tragedies?
totally different. Actually, everyone survived. I'll say that. So
Everyone.
it's so spoiler.
Wow. Because, like,
But
we're really racking up on
it's
the
not really like
tragedies here this year.
I know. So like the story, it's like the shipwreck, the actual like shipwreck is like a small part of it.
Okay.
So
Take us back in time, unless it's in the future.
it's not a feature.
I figured not.
So we are talking about mainly like one man, but
Wait.
what?
Is it a shipwreck? Is it a ship?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
What? What
Well,
else
because
would
like I when you said like the one man, there's that movie that's like called Sully or something with Tom Hanks in it, and it's about the guy who's like their plane fails and they have to like land the plane, crash it into like the ocean or something.
Oh,
I
no,
didn't
it's
know if
nothing
we
like
were talking
that.
about that. Okay, sorry.
No, this is like 100 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So I'm just gonna like kinda set the scene for a
Okay.
minute before we like dive back into like the background and lead up to it. So this story has all the beginnings of a good story. Entrapment,
Oh.
hunger,
Oh.
disease,
Great.
frigid weather, angry seas, and near madness.
Oh, near madness.
Yep.
Something I experience on the daily.
I know. Same. I'm gonna read like a little excerpt from history.com that really like painted a really nice picture. From the moment Ernest Shackleton and his crew aboard the British expedition ship, the HMS Endurance, had become immobilized in Antarctica's ice 10 months earlier, they had been preparing for this moment. Now, those on board removed their last remaining belongings from the ship and set up camp on ice. 25 days later, what remained of the wreck convulsed once more, and the Endurance disappeared beneath the ice. The ship was thought to be lost to history, because no one was able to find it, until it was finally discovered by scientists at the bottom of Antarctica's Weddell Sea on March 9th, 2022.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So like last year,
Whoa, okay.
they like just found this ship. So that's kind of why I wanted to talk about it because it's kind of recent.
That's really okay. This is really interesting. I've never heard of this.
Yeah,
Had
no.
you ever heard of it?
No. His name kind of sounded familiar, but like I don't know. He was like really important man. We'll get into it.
All right.
So, Major Sir Ernest Henry Shackleton entered the world on the 15th of February, 1874, to parents Henry Shackleton and Henrietta Leti. I want to say Letitia.
Okay.
It looks like Letitia. Sophia Gavin.
Wow. So
So,
his parents' names are Henry and Henrietta. All
yes.
right. Okay.
Oh
Sneak that
man.
one in.
So Ernest has ended up like ending his life with like a lot of letters like after his name. So you know how like a doctor has like MD or whatever. He has like all like the military like letters. So
The
he
hand
was
gesture you're
C
doing where it goes off screen.
I know. So he was CVO, which meant he was a commander in the Royal Victorian Order, which was like a dynastic, is it dynastic? Like dynasty?
Sure. The only other option is dynastic, so I think
Yeah.
dynastic is correct.
Dynastic order of knighthood established in 1896 by Queen Victoria.
I'll go off.
He was a member, he was OBE, a member of the Most Excellent Order of the British Empire, which was a British order of chivalry, rewarding contributions to the arts and sciences. Work with charitable and welfare, oh my gosh, I can't talk. Welfare organizations
All for organizations.
and public service outside the civil service. He was
Okay.
also a FERGS, FRGS, member of the Royal Geographical Society, which is a learned society and professional body for geography based in the United Kingdom. And then he was also FRSGS. The Royal Scottish Geographical
Yeah,
Society.
yeah, yeah. What is F?
I don't know.
Okay.
I
Okay.
tried figured that out too. It's like I don't know. It just was like they have the members. They put like the F on the first on like the front of it. If you know, let us know. 'Cause I couldn't really figure it out. It
If
just
you
meant they were like
are
a member. So
okay.
like, Royal Geographic Society,
Yeah.
RGS. If you remember, it's your FRGS. And then same thing with like the Scottish. Sorry. He was born in Kilkia.
You're looking at me like I'm gonna know.
I know, I don't know. Which is a village in the county Kildare, Ireland.
So probably not at all how you pronounced it, but okay.
Chill out. I'm sorry.
I like the Irish
Kilkay?
pronunciation is difficult.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's not how we say things.
Probably not. You're right.
Okay,
Which
well.
is about 47 miles or 75 kilometers from Dublin.
Dublin.
So
Wow,
Henry
this is
stopped.
very
Oh.
like St. Patrick's Day.
Oh yeah, I totally planned this.
You totally planned it. I knew it.
So Henry, his father, tried to enter the British Army, but his poor health prevented him from doing so. So he became a farmer instead, and that's how they like ended up in this like little village. Ernest was the second of 10 children
Whoa.
and the first of two sons. So they had eight daughters and two sons.
All right.
This is a little juicy. So the second
This is a little
son,
juicy.
it's a little juicy. The second son, Francis, achieved notoriety as a suspect in the 1907 theft of the so-called Irish crown jewels.
Oh, so not good notoriety.
Yeah, which have never been recovered. I like did a little bit of like
What?
research. I guess there was like this whole thing where like the royal crown jewels or something, like these really important Irish jewels were stolen and they've never been recovered. And
Wow.
we probably do a whole episode on that. I don't know.
Okay,
But
well, maybe I'll keep it in mind for the next one.
he was later exonerated, but he still was like a suspect, which means that I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, he also at one point was later imprisoned in 1914 for passing a check that was stolen from a widow. So it sounds like he was like getting himself into trouble, and like maybe that's why he was a suspect. So like brother drama.
Yeah, seriously.
In 1880, when Ernest was six, his father gave up his life as a landowner to study medicine at Trinity College, Dublin, which moved his family to the city. 4 years later, the family moved again from Ireland to another Sydenham. I feel like that's, excuse me.
Okay.
I feel like that's totally wrong. It's
Okay.
basically like a suburb in London.
Okay.
So we're just gonna say London because I'm
Sure.
too embarrassed to try to pronounce that again. Partly this was in search of better professionals prospects for the newly qualified doctor, but it also could have been unease about their Anglo-Irish ancestry, which I guess there was like a there was the assassination by Irish nationalists of Lord Frederick Cavendish,
Okay.
who was the British chief secretary for Ireland in 1882. And Shackleton was like, I'm an Irish man, so he was very prideful in his, I don't know. They just moved, basically. That's all
They
you need to
needed
know.
to leave.
They needed to leave. So from an early childhood, Ernest was a avid reader, a pursuit which sparked a passion for adventure. He was
Cool.
schooled by a governess until the age of 11, when he began at Fir Lodge Preparatory School in southeast London. And at the age of 13, he entered college.
Whoa. I mean, I guess it is a different time, but that still seems kind of young.
I know. He didn't really distinguish himself as a scholar, though, and he said he was bored by his studies. His quotes are like pretty funny. He was later quoted as saying, I never learned much geography at school. Literature, too, consisted in the dissection, the parsing, the analyzing of certain passages from our great poets and prose writers. Teachers should be very careful not to spoil their pupils' taste for poetry for all time by making it a task and an imposition. And he ended up making it like in the fifth rank in his class of 31.
Well,
So,
okay. But you
okay.
know, he was bored.
Yep.
He was bored.
So, yeah. So his boredom at school, kind of like when he left, he decided to go to sea. His options were Royal Navy cadetship, which he could not afford. There was also like mercantile marine cadetships or an apprenticeship on a sailing vessel, and he ended up choosing that option.
Okay.
So during the 4 years he was at sea, he learned his trade, visiting the far corners of the earth, basically just like exploring and forming acquaintances with like a variety of people. And so then in August 1894, he passed his exam for second mate and accepted a post as third officer on a tramp steamer of the Welsh Shire Line. So he kind of just like,
He's bopping all over, like,
later he
the
like
place.
became first mate, and then he was like certified as a master mariner, which qualified him to command a British ship anywhere in the world.
Wow.
So then, when he achieved that in 1898, he joined the Union Castle Line, which is just like a British shipping line, on a mail and passenger carrier between Southampton and Cape Town. And so, his shipmates quoted him saying like, or sorry, they described him as a departure from our usual type of young officer. And he just like spouted lines of poetry randomly, and he was like a mixture of sensitivity and
Oh,
aggression,
whoa,
but
okay.
like also sympathetic.
Wow.
And like he just sounds like a crazy character,
He sounds like
honestly.
a really interesting person for sure.
Yeah.
Who's just like you know, like that one kid in like high school that was always just like randomly like quoted something like at you or like raised their hand in like studying class and everyone was kind of like,
Yeah,
yeah,
just like
but
very like
okay,
eccentric like
why?
type of
Yeah.
personality, I guess.
Yeah.
So in March of 1900, he met an army lieutenant, Cedric Longstaff, whose father, Llewellyn W. Longstaff, was the main financial backer of the National Antarctic Expedition, which was being organized in London at the time. So
Wow.
he used kind of like his like acquaintance with the son Cedric to obtain an interview with his father to see if he could get like a place on the expedition because that really like interested him. I think at like this time there was like a race to get to like the South Pole and like just kind of explore Antarctica. Like a lot of people were really interested in that at that time.
Yeah. When were penguins discovered? Because I can't. Was this like the first expedition to Antarctica?
I don't think it was like the first
Let's
probably,
see.
but
First
it can have been like the very first. There's always like stuff you don't know about, but
expedition to Antarctica. Oh, it was in. Hold on. This is just a sighting. It was in 1820.
okay. Yeah. But like people there was like, the accomplishment of like crossing Antarctica and like making it to the North Pole and stuff like that. And so I like lost my place here. Oh,
Is Antarctica
so
the north or the south pole?
south.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought. That's what I thought.
It's okay. It's okay. It's a continent.
Yeah.
Yep, it's the south.
Yeah, it's the south because the Arctic is the north. Okay.
Yes. So the father Longstaff was very impressed by Shackleton's keenness and recommended him to another guy, and he basically was accepted. So on the 17th of February 1901, his appointment as third officer to the expedition ship's Discovery was confirmed. And then on the 4th of June, he was commissioned into the Royal Navy, and he officially, I don't know. He like left the Navy and like basically just went on this.
Like joining the expedition. Okay.
Sorry. There was just like a lot of like very like military type talk, and I'm just like not
Yeah.
that much.
I feel like it's probably fine.
Yeah, so basically like he was like, I'm leaving the Navy, I'm going to be an explorer now. And so now we get to the Discovery Expedition, which is like his first real expedition. And it took
Okay.
place from 1901 to 1903.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a
So
long time.
yeah, so officially it was called the British National Antarctic Expedition.
Okay.
And it was the brainchild of Sir Clements Markham, who was the president of the Royal Geographical Society at the time. And he had like prepared for this for like a very long time, like years. It was led by Robert Falcon Scott, who was a Royal Navy torpedo lieutenant.
A torpedo lieutenant.
I know. And basically this whole trip, the objective was to like it included both scientific and geographical discovery. Essentially, they were like kind of what is out there? We're gonna find out for the British government or whatever, I don't know. So Scott chose Shackleton to accompany Wilson, which I don't remember who Wilson is. I
Okay.
know
There's
a
a guy
guy.
named Wilson. It's the it's that
There's like
kid
a lot of
that
names
it's the
in.
tennis or what was that the volleyball from the one movie.
Oh my gosh.
Is that I don't remember what that is. That
What is
its name is
that?
Wilson, right?
Yeah, because it's
Yeah.
not the brand of. I
Yeah.
don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
I must have missed something when I was copying and pasting my notes.
That's funny.
There's like a lot of names in this like whole story, so I don't think Wilson's important. Sorry,
Okay.
Wilson.
Sorry, Wilson.
So basically, like their goal was not only to like discover, but they also like the main part was to kind of land, or not land. What do you call it when you like stop the ship and like get off? Like,
Let
what I
down
mean?
anchor?
Like they
I don't know.
dock. I don't know.
Doc. Okay, yeah, sure.
Dock? I
Doc,
don't
doc.
know.
Yeah,
Like
that works.
basically like they were like gonna like, oh my gosh, I can't even think
Like
of any
station?
words. Kind of like they were just gonna like travel to Antarctica, get off the ship and march on foot
And march.
to
Really on foot,
basically
not on their hands.
no they're gonna march south to try to achieve the highest possible latitude in the direction of the South Pole. So they're gonna try to get like be the first ones to like get as far to this as they could, as far as they could to
Okay.
the South Pole.
Okay.
The march was not a serious attempt on the pole, although the attainment of high latitude was of great importance to Scott, and the inclusion of Shackleton indicated a high degree of personal trust.
Okay.
So they're just trying to see like how far can we get, like can we get
Sure.
the record, Guinness World Record.
Guinness World Records.
So the party set out on the 2nd of November 1902, and the march was, Scott wrote later, a combination of success and failure. They did reach a record of the farthest south latitude of 82 degrees, 82 degrees 17 feet
Okay.
was reached.
I have
I don't know.
no reference for what that means, but congratulations to
And it
them.
beat the previous record established in 1900 by Karsten Borchgrevink.
Okay,
So,
sounds Russian.
probably. I like, you know how we were talking about how like the microphone picks everything
Yeah.
up? I literally like thought like a plane was like driving over my head right now. I think there's a
That's
plane
funny.
outside. Okay, so the journey was marred by the poor performance of the dogs, whose food had become tainted, unfortunately, and they all like fell really sick.
Oh,
And actually
those poor dogs.
all 22 dogs died
22 dogs.
during the march.
No,
The
that's
three,
so
I
sad.
know.
Why did they have 22 dogs?
You just wait.
For why? Are they gonna eat them? Oh my gosh.
No, I think they just like they must have had like sleds or something. I don't know, or they just like I don't really know, to
That's
be
a
honest.
smattering effect.
They just had like a lot of dogs. You know, you go on an expedition, you gotta bring a bunch of dogs.
I
with you.
mean,
It's like a thing.
it's like the amount of food, alcohol, dogs, like those are like top three important things. Like,
So not only did all of their dogs die, it's just like really unfortunate. They
that is just like
also
really.
suffered from snow blindness, frostbite, and scurvy.
The dogs?
No, the men.
Oh, I was like, that's so bad. I don't care
And
about
on the return,
the
oh my
bed. I'm
gosh,
glad the dogs didn't
the
suffer.
dogs! No, the dogs all died because they got like food poisoning.
Was before the scurvy and everything happened.
I don't know, man.
Oh my gosh. What is this story? Why are we talking
And
about such
so
sad? Why would you bring dogs into it like this?
it gets really hard. It gets a lot worse. It gets
No.
worse. So basically, there was just kind of like failed. Like they didn't get as far as they wanted to. They did break the record, but I don't think they got as far as they wanted to because everyone
Wow,
just got like sick and
congratulations. Glad that you sacrificed 22 dogs to do
yeah. And on the
Are they gonna
return,
eat someone?
no.
Okay.
Everyone survived, remember?
Oh,
They're
wait,
not
I'm
just
sorry.
Oh my gosh.
You're the expendable crewman.
Oh my gosh. Well, there was one stowaway, I think, so they could have
They didn't say a stowaway for that long?
not on this trip.
What?
The
Where I'm
big
so
the okay. Let's get back on track.
okay.
So on this return journey of this like failed expedition, Shackleton kind of was noticeably like kind of ill and kind of like broken down almost. Like he could not like
Was it the
carry out
scurvy, the snow blindness, or the frostbite?
probably all of the above.
The
Basically, he
depression
could
of the dogs.
he could no longer carry out his share of the work,
Oh no.
and he was basically just got like really sick.
That's
And so
convenient.
now, after he gets like back, he takes a few years on shore, which is kind of like it's called like his shore years in the article I was reading. He actually, instead of going to Britain, I guess he recuperated in New Zealand, just
Ooh,
vacay in New Zealand, just
with
getting
the
better,
Kiwis,
before returning to like England. And once he went to England, he became a journalist working for the Royal Magazine, but he found this unsatisfactory.
of course. I'm not surprised.
I know. He was then offered and accepted the secretaryship of the Royal Scottish Geographical Society, which he took in January of 1904.
Okay.
A few months later, in April, he married Emily Dorman. Not sure how they met, but
They met.
I looked up a picture of her, and I don't know if like the picture didn't do her justice or whatever, but she kind of looks like the Wicked Witch of the West, not
Oh
gonna
my
lie.
goodness. Wow, we're really bringing all of our
Like,
episodes into this. Her name's Emily Dorman.
yeah, Dorman.
Dorman.
I don't know. Maybe it was just a bad picture I looked at. I don't want to like shame any woman, but it just was like a little funny. I literally thought it was like the actress
Oh.
who played. I literally
Oh
thought it was like the actress.
no. Oh, it really
I
does
forgot her
kind of
name,
look
but
like her.
I know, right?
Oh, Emily.
But they had three children, Raymond.
Like, she's not ugly, she just does look like the Wicked Witch.
I know. Yeah, exactly. I was like, I'm not trying to be like,
Yeah.
whatever. So they had three children, Raymond, Cecily? Cece?
Cecily?
Cecily, maybe? I don't know. And Edward, who himself became an explorer and a later a politician. In 1905, Shackleton became a shareholder in a speculative company that aimed to make a fortune transporting Russian troops home from the Far East. And despite his assurances to Emily that we are practically sure of the contract, nothing came of this scheme. There's like a few times where Emily was like, "What are you doing?"
I love sassy women.
So then he was like, "Fine," and like, "I'll take a job with this wealthy guy named William Beardmore, with a roving commission, which involved interviewing prospective clients and entertaining Beardmore's business friends."
Doesn't sound like the worst job you could have.
And by this point, Shackleton was like, "Listen, I like want to go back to Antarctica, but I want to like lead my own expedition."
All right.
So he wanted to try again, basically. So Beardmore was actually really impressed and wanted and offered him financial support. But other donations he kind of had like work for, but he did get the donations from like wealthy people. And he ended up in 1907 presenting to the Royal Geographical Society his plans for the Antarctic expedition, which was kind of under the name British Antarctic Expedition because they can't come up with any creative names, I guess. It was published, like details of it were published in the Royal Geographical Society's newsletter, Geographical Journal was the name of the newspaper.
It's just really creative
I
all
know,
around.
I know. The aim of the conquest of both the so they were gonna try to conquer both the geographical South Pole and the magnetic South Pole.
Okay, so
I didn't really know that there were two different poles. There's like two different North Poles too. And the geographical poles are opposite of its magnetic poles. So the Earth's magnetic field is basically like one big bar magnet at like the center of the Earth. And the North magnetic pole corresponds to the South geographic pole, and the South magnetic pole corresponds to the North geographic pole. Which I feel like I might have learned that, but like I'm like third grade, man. I don't remember that.
You're busy taking baths.
I guess. So I got like some rich friends to contribute, and the last donation that he needed was secured less than 2 weeks before the departure of the ship, the Nimrod.
You little Nimrod,
They decided
to
to take the
quote my mother,
Nimrod.
Nimrod means a mighty warrior.
Who said that?
It does. I'm pretty sure. Hold on, I'll look
Oh
it
my
up.
goodness.
Nimrod, meaning. Nope, not Marvel. Nimrod, meaning. Nim. Nope, not Mim. Nimrod, meaning. It means a skillful hunter. Or a foolish or inept person.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
But it
So,
could have just been referring to the skillful hunter thing.
the what? Oh, okay, yeah. Maybe, probably,
It
but
that's the literary definition, and the
I
informal
think
North American definition is a foolish or inept person.
Americans ruin everything. Oh my goodness.
Ah.
So on New Year's Day, 1908, they're like, "This is my New Year's resolution, is to conquer the South Poles."
New Year's was
And so the Nimrod set off on the British and Antarctic expedition from New Zealand. I guess they have like a lot of connections in New Zealand. I don't get
well,
it.
it's underneath the British flag,
Oh.
like the Commonwealth.
Yeah, at that time it was probably okay. That makes a lot more sense
I'm
because
pretty
I'm
sure it
thinking of
still
like,
is.
I don't know. I wasn't thinking. Guys, I'm not really good at history or geography, so this is like probably not even that good of a topic for me to talk about, but I still think it's very interesting. So, anyway, to conserve coal, the ship was actually towed 1,650 miles, which is a little over like 2.5 hundred kilometers by the steamer the Cunha to the the Antarctic ice. And Shackleton like persuaded the New Zealand government to do this for him to like help share the costs. He's like, I'm doing this for you as much as I'm doing it for me,
I'm
so you
doing
need to
this
help me pay for it.
for you.
The ship headed for the eastern sector of the Great Ice Barrier, arriving there on the 21st of January 1908. So like 3 weeks took him. They found, though, that the barrier inlet had expanded to form a large bay in which there were hundreds of whales, which
Whoa.
led to the immediate christening of the area as the Bay of Whales.
Oh, there you go. We're really just simple people, aren't we? When it
Yeah.
comes down to it. Like, this is the
Absolutely.
Royal Antarctica Expedition. This is the Bay of Whales.
I know.
This is
So,
the Nimrod.
right. So they make it to Antarctica, and basically it takes them a year because on 9th of January 1909, they make it to another new farthest south latitude of 88
A
degrees.
year.
Yeah, somehow between like the Bay of Whales and getting to like where they were, it took them a whole year.
What did his wife think of all of this? Like,
Just
I'm just
wait.
gonna be gone for like a year.
I know, like just on a boat, you can't contact me, like
I'm in Antarctica. You actually cannot send me mail. You will not hear from me. You will not
right?
know if I'm dead or alive for like
So,
at
yeah.
least a year.
So again, they didn't make it to the poles. They made it like 112 miles away from the pole.
Oh my God.
Like so close.
How are they like transporting this much food
But
with
the
them?
well, they basically were surviving. They kind of and like kind of ended up like running out of food and like were racing against starvation, trying to survive on like one biscuit a day.
Oh my God.
So yeah. But because they like broke a record, even though they didn't reach their goal, Shackleton returned to the United Kingdom as like a hero and like soon afterwards published his expedition account, Heart of the Antarctic. And
That's
his
poetic.
wife, here we go, his wife Emily later recorded, the only comment he made to me about not reaching the pole was, a live donkey is better than a dead lion, isn't it? And I said, yes, darling, as far as I am concerned.
She's got some zingers.
Oh my gosh.
That's
He was
funny.
just like, I know. She probably was like, did you make it to the pole? And he was like, a donkey's better, a dead donkey, a live donkey's better than a dead lion, isn't
What does that quote even
I
mean?
don't know. Like, I don't
A
know.
live donkey's
A
better
live
than a
donkey.
dead lion.
I don't even know what that means
I
to be
don't,
honest.
that's really confusing because in the scenario, the worst situations that why wouldn't it just be like a live donkey's better than a dead donkey? Like,
I
or a live lion's better than a dead lion.
don't know.
Wait, so it's a live donkey's better than a dead
It's
lion?
like he was like, well, I didn't get the lion, but at least I got, I don't know. I don't
I know.
know.
Okay, that makes more sense. That makes more sense.
Maybe, but like, I don't know. I don't know where, like, how donkey and lion is like comparable, but
He was an eccentric dude. We established that.
yes, true. So right after that expedition to like 1914, so about like, was that like 5 years? He had another break from expeditions where he was basically just like living life as like a celebrity, you know, just like partying and just people were like fawning over him. I don't know. But like secretly, he was actually deeply in debt from the expedition. And actually in 1912, word got around the world that
The world.
the South Pole had been conquered by Norwegian Roald Amundsen.
Oh, he's not gonna like that.
So yeah, so he got there first. Then the Norwegians beat the British in that.
Norway. Well, you know, they probably are more prepared to deal with such lengths of cold.
I mean, there might be some truth in that, probably.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't like girls.
So Shackleton was like, it's okay. It's okay. And
It's
he
fine.
kind of like turned to like another project that had been announced, but then it was abandoned by a different British explorer, William Spears Bruce, in which they were gonna like cross the Antarctica, like the continent, like completely cross it like from one end to the other. So like they were going a lot
Cool, I
further than just the
guess.
pole and back. They were like gonna just
Yeah.
like cross the entire thing. But for whatever reason, it was like abandoned by this other explorer. And oh, if I would have just like read the next line, because he couldn't afford it, basically. He wasn't able to get like the fundraising. He didn't get
There
the
you go.
financial backing. He didn't sell enough cookie dough or popcorn or whatever
Sure,
to
the
get the
candy bars.
he didn't get his like
His
yeah.
quota.
Oh my gosh. So yeah. So like the trip was like they were gonna land in the Weddell Sea, which is kind of like north, like on the northern end, and then they were going to travel kind of like through the South Pole to the McMurdo Sound, which is in the Ross Sea, which is like southern, it's kind of like southwest-ish. And so Shackleton was like, now I have this opportunity. So he kind of took it. Well, he did take it.
He kind of took it.
He kind of took it. I don't know why I did like a long pause there. He took it. And so this was called the Imperial Transantarctic Expedition. So they're like naming got a little bit better. And it started in like 1914. So, all right, here is the plan. So two ships would be employed. We have the Endurance, which would carry the main party into the Weddell Sea on the north side of Antarctica.
The Bay of Whales, yes.
I don't think it was the Bay of Whales, but
I thought
whatever.
that's what it
I don't think so.
I thought it that was what is in the Weddell Sea.
Was it?
I don't know. Maybe I'm
No,
wrong.
the Barrier Inlet.
Oh, okay. Sorry, guys.
It's
I got
okay.
excited.
So they were aiming for the Vahsel Bay, which is like a bay in the sea, where they could like land or park it or dock or whatever you. I like cannot think of the word.
Let's
I
just
don't know.
say park it. I don't know, say
Park it.
that they're gonna anchor. They're gonna anchor there.
Someone like yelling it, I know from listening to this podcast.
Please tell us. Yell louder, we can't hear.
Yeah. So the Endurance was gonna like park it in the Weddell Sea and
Don't say it's not
there's gonna be like a team of
far.
There's going to be a team of six led by Shackleton that would begin like crossing the continent. So like these were like the main guys that were going to like do the thing. The second ship, the Aurora,
Aurora.
would
No reaction.
basically be like the supporting party, and
Okay.
they were going to travel and like dock where they were going to like where like the first party was going to like end up
Okay.
in like the South, in like the Ross Sea, like the Mer Mortar McMurdo Mick Murdo. It's like the new sandwich on McDonald's Happy Menu, whatever.
McGraw.
Oh my gosh, the McMurdo, on the south side of the continent. And their job was very important. They were going to like start traveling north and kind of like deposit food and fuel depots along the path.
Oh,
So
that's
like
good.
yeah, so like Shackleton, when they like reached kind of like the second half of the journey, they could just like refuel and like keep going.
Yeah, they wouldn't have to like carry everything with them.
Right. So the expedition was financed largely by private donations, along or although the British government gave about £10,000, which in 2019 was about £900,000. Public interest in the expedition was considerable. Shackleton received more than 5,000 applications of people who wanted to join in.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. His interviewing and selection methods, of course, were eccentric,
Sure.
believing that character and temperament were as important as technical and ability. And he sometimes asked very unconventional questions. He asked a physicist, Reginald James, if he could sing, and others were accepted on sight because Shackleton liked how they looked.
What? Well, this is not the way to set this up,
I
my
know.
dude.
I
Like,
know. He
he was like, "Can you
also,
sing? Because we're gonna need entertainment."
yeah, who cares if you're like a physicist? Like,
Like,
entertainment's
duh.
way more important.
He's like, "We are gonna be walking for a long time. Can you stand inside of this ice box and sing for me? I need to know how
Literally.
your vocals do in the cold."
Yes. So he actually, I think this was kind of cool. He loosened some of like the traditional hierarchies to like promote camaraderie. So like the ship's chores were like divided equally among the officers, the scientists, and like the crew, like the seamen. So like
Okay.
you're
You're
a
a child.
So like everyone was like, you have chores, like it's not up to like
Yeah.
we're not gonna like condescend anyone here.
Yeah. Don't make the expendable crew men do all of the bad, dirty stuff.
He also like was very sociable with his crew members, and every evening after dinner they led sing-alongs, told
Well, with
jokes,
the
and
physicist.
played games. Yeah, that was the real reason. He ultimately selected a crew of about like 56, so there was kind of like 28-ish on each ship.
Okay. And like what, the second ship just like didn't get to hang out with him? They were just like, oh.
Guess, yeah, they're yeah, I don't know what kind of trip they had, but probably wasn't as fun, to be honest.
It does not sound as fun.
Yeah. So the Endurance set out August 8th, 1914, which was literally just days after World War I broke out, but they were able to get special permission from Winston Churchill, who at the time was First Lord of the Admiralty, at to proceed basically with
Wow.
the expedition. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is kind of cool.
Shackleton, for whatever reason, delayed his own departure until September, so like a month later, and he met the ship in Buenos Aires.
Buenos Aires. Why
Buenos,
did
Buen
they, Buenos Aires? Why did they have to, so
Yes.
they had to take a third ship to like deliver him to his ship?
Yeah, I don't really know why he like was like, I'm not gonna
He
like
was like, I'm gonna be gone for like a year. Honey, baby, sweetie, love. Let me delay for 1 month to make it better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. I don't know. I don't know what he was doing. If he had loose ends to tie up, I don't know.
He had paperwork.
Maybe. So on this ship, or I guess aboard the two ships, they had 69 dogs and
Oh my
one.
goodness. I don't. So you say everyone survives.
Every human survived.
Thank
So they
you.
had 69 dogs and one male.
Why not 70?
Well, actually, one source said 70, one source said 69.
So 70. They had 70 dogs on
Sure, they
board.
had about 70 dogs. And one male cat named Mrs. Chippy. They named a male cat Mrs. Chippy, and I love it.
That's so funny.
So they departed from South Georgia, which I think is like an island, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Like kind of. It's kind of like in between South America and like Antarctica,
Okay.
I think. So they departed it for the Weddell Sea on December 5th, 1914. And as they moved southward, though, they started encountering ice, and in particular, like first year ice was like really hard to get through. I like looked up. Apparently, there's like different classes of ice.
Okay.
So there's like new ice.
Wow.
There's like first year ice, there's like second year ice, and it's all like varies in like thickness. And so like first year ice basically is like it hasn't like survived like a full year. Like it hasn't survived through like the melting season yet,
Sure.
essentially. And so like conditions just kept getting worse and worse as they went more south. And on the 19th of January 1915, the Endurance became frozen in an ice floe.
Oh,
There was no way forward and there was no way back.
that seems not good.
In the words of one of the crew, Thomas Ordelies, they were frozen like an almond in the middle of a chocolate bar. They're just like an almond joy.
My God.
They had literally been within like a day's sailing of where they were going to land.
Oh no. But like that's like several like dozens of miles, like.
And now, because they were stuck in the ice, it was like slowly pushing them farther and farther away, like backwards each passing day.
Oh no.
So there was
Oh, 'cause it's like
nothing,
an ice floe. Yeah.
so there was nothing to do except just like kind of establish a routine and kind of just like hibernate and wait out the winter. They're like, we gotta
Right.
wait for like the ice to like hopefully melt in the spring. And apparently Shackleton, which wrote from I think one of the ship surgeon's diaries. The surgeon was Alexander Macklin. Remember that name, Macklin? I think he was important
Macklin.
later.
Okay. Not
He
Wilson.
wrote,
Macklin.
he wrote, Shackleton didn't rage at all or show any outwardly sign of disappointment. He simply told us, like, very calmly that we must prepare for winter. He explained, like, all the dangers and possibilities of what could happen, but he never lost his optimism.
Wow, that's a good leadership right there.
But I guess in private, he kind of was like kind of freaking out a bit and was like quietly expressing to the ship's captain, Frank Worsley, that like, like the ship can't live in this. It may be a few months, it may be like weeks or days, but basically what the ice gets, the ice keeps.
Oh. That's foreboding. That's
On
not
the
what you want to hear.
So on the 24th of February, realizing that she'd be trapped until the following spring, which I think seasons are different probably
Yeah, I
in
would
the, I
imagine.
was like, it was like threw me off. I was like, what?
So
Because
probably like our fall.
because they're like, it's spring arrived in September. So
Yeah,
yeah, I
yeah.
guess that would make sense. He basically ordered everyone to stop kind of like operating the ship like a ship and like just kind of like convert it into like a winter station. Because they're like, we're going to be stuck here longer. So when spring arrived in September, the breaking of the ice put extreme pressures on the ship's hull. It didn't like completely release, but it was like the ice started like damaging the ship. Excuse me.
Not
But
good.
yeah. So, and then on the 24th of October, water began pouring in. So Shackleton
Even
gave,
worse.
yes. So Shackleton gave the order to abandon ship, saying she's going down. And they basically took all their stuff, like equipment, and transferred to camps on the ice. This like floating.
Wow.
So, yeah. And then a month later, in November 1915, the wreck finally went below the surface.
Oh my gosh.
And
Could you
remember, it
just
was.
imagine like watching like your ship just like sinking and you're like, ah.
Like, how are we gonna get back? Like,
We
what are we
are
gonna do?
stranded.
We're like stuck on this ice floe. Like, yeah. And remember, the ship was not found until last year.
Yeah.
It was over 100 years it had been lost
Wow.
to the sea. So
What the
basically,
ice
like,
gets, the ice keeps.
yeah. So like in this like month of like when they had like abandoned, like when it like actually sunk, they were like sacrificing everything they could that added weight or would consume valuable resources, so, like Bibles, books, clothing, tools, and keepsakes. They would like keep that, but like kind of get rid of everything else. And unfortunately, some of the younger dogs who were too small to pull their own weight were shot, along with, unfortunately, Mrs. Chippy the cat. I'm sorry. Your face is so sad.
Yeah, that's really sad. I mean, I guess it's good that they had like a quick ending. They didn't just like set him on the ice and be like, he's not Girl Scout. But like, what do you mean pull their weight? What are those dogs doing anyways? Like,
I'm taking up food and
that's not pulling your weight.
I
Like,
don't know. I don't know,
the
man.
dogs aren't working.
What was Mrs. Chippy doing?
Yeah, well, she was killing rats. I mean, he was killing rats. He had a food
Know.
source.
I know, right?
Oh, that's so
So,
sad.
yeah. So the initial plan, so now they don't have a ship and they're like stranded on the ice, was to like march across the ice toward like the land, but that was abandoned after they only were able to make it 7.5 miles in 7 days.
Oh my goodness. Well, because they're also probably trying to transport as much as they can with them. Like,
Yeah, so they
no.
literally made it 7 miles in
So,
7 days.
you know the whole scenario of like, if you were stranded on a deserted island, I feel like I move to change the scenario to if you were wrecked, if your ship got wrecked while you were stuck in ice alone in Antarctica.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, like what would you?
Yeah.
That's my
Seven and a
place.
half miles in 7 days. That's like
Right.
1 mile a day. You can walk that in like a half hour.
I know. So
Just the
Shackleton
one
was
mile,
like,
sorry, 1 mile, seven and a half, not
I know.
seven.
It's so bad. I mean, the conditions must have been horrible, or
Yeah.
yeah. So Shackleton was like, there's no alternative but to camp once more on the floe, like go back and just wait until the conditions are more favorable
Yeah.
and like try it again. And slowly and steadily, the ice drifted farther to the north. But on April of 1916,
Oh my goodness.
the ship sunk in November 1915, and then like 5 months later in April, they saw the like mountain, I guess mountain peaks of Clarence and Elephant Islands come into view, and it flooded them with hope. So 2 days later,
So they've been on this
yeah.
expedition since like the fall of 1914. That's like when they left for South America. Because he left in like September.
Yes.
So, and now it's ni April
Which is actually like the
1916.
spring. Yeah.
Our fall. Sorry.
Yes. So they've already been gone for like 2 years and they haven't even like gone to Antarctica yet. Two
Oh my
days
gosh.
later, after seeing like the islands come into view, their ice floe broke in two, and Shackleton ordered the crew into like the lifeboats that they were able to salvage from the ship.
Oh, because they're like trying to haul lifeboats with them. No wonder they're
I
only walking
guess I
like.
don't I guess
Oh
I have
my
no idea.
gosh. I mean, that's smart, I guess.
And they headed for the nearest land. So after 5 days at sea in these little lifeboats, I want you to picture
No.
like
I
freezing ocean
don't want a
water.
picture.
So freezing ocean water being sprayed constantly on you and constant like rocking back and forth. So you're like seasick,
In an
freezing.
uncovered lifeboat in the middle of the
Yes.
ocean. Have you
Literally,
seen the
like,
movie The Swimmers?
no.
You need to watch that movie.
Yeah, so basically they're just like laying in the fetal position for like 5 days, not sleeping. They started suffering from dysentery.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine, yeah.
Ugh. So they finally land their lifeboats on Elephant Island, which was about 346 miles from where the Endurance sank. This was the first time
Oh
they
my
stood
gosh.
on solid ground for 497 days.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
So unfortunately, Elephant Island was very inhospitable. It was
Of
far from
course.
any shipping routes, and rescue by means of like someone randomly by chance discovering them was very unlikely.
Sure.
So they kind of just like recuperated and like prepared for 9 days there. And then Shackleton, Captain Frank Worsley, and four others sat out in one of the lifeboats, the James Caird, because I didn't know that lifeboats had names too. But this
I
one,
maybe they named them.
this one was named the James Caird, and
Wow, that's so
I
fancy.
feel like it like sounds like the new men's fragrance by James Caird, like.
Yeah, it does. Endurance
Yeah.
by James Caird.
It's
The cologne. It's like you smell like
ocean.
dysentery and ocean.
Yeah. Like ocean spray.
Ocean Spray by
So
Jason
they're
Caird.
like, they
Or not
knew of,
James Caird.
yes. So like they knew apparently, maybe it was like well known of this like whaling station on South Georgia Island, which was more than 800 miles away.
Oh my God.
So they were going to try to go in this lifeboat 800 miles away to try to get help from this shipping station because, I mean, they were stranded where
Yeah.
no one was going to like come and
What are
find
you gonna
them.
do? Yeah.
Right? So Shackleton refused to pack supplies for more than 4 weeks, knowing that if they did not reach South Georgia, basically within a month, the boat and its crew would be lost. Like, there's no way we are going to make it more than 4 weeks. The James Caird was launched on the 24th of April, 1916, and during the next 15 days, it sailed through the waters of the Southern Ocean, at the mercy of the stormy seas, in constant peril of capsizing.
Oh my goodness.
On the 8th of May, thanks to Worsley's navigational skills, the cliffs of South Georgia Island came into sight, but the hurricane-force winds prevented the possibility of landing.
Great. Perfect.
Of course, they
That's
had a hurricane.
exactly what they needed.
Of course, they
In
had
a
a hurricane.
lifeboat. In a
Yeah, so
lifeboat.
exactly. So the party was forced to ride out the storm offshore in constant danger of being dashed against the rocks. So they rode out this hurricane in a lifeboat in the middle of the ocean.
This is
And
stressing me out.
I know they later learned that the same hurricane sunk a 500-ton steamer that was bound for like South Georgia.
Oh my
Like,
gosh.
and they somehow survived in this tiny little lifeboat that took out
Oh
like
my goodness. That's actually crazy.
I know. So this is like an amazing survival tale if you haven't figured it out already. The next day, thankfully, the wind eased off and they were able to make it to shore finally. But it was not like it still wasn't just like a straight shot. Like the James Caird was like blown off course from like the hurricane, and they landed on the other side of the island from the whaling station. So, so of course they had like the worst luck.
Literally,
So they're like,
but like
okay,
also the best question mark.
yes. So like, okay, there's six of us. We're gonna leave three of you at the landing point on.
Six.
Yeah, there's six of them.
I thought there was 28 crew people.
Yeah, only six of them went to like go on this like get help expedition.
Oh.
The rest like stayed on Elephant Island.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So three of the men stayed like where they landed on South Georgia, like at the opposite side from the whaling station. And then the other three, which was Shackleton, Captain Worsley, and Tom Crean, set off to reach the whaling station by foot, by climbing over mountains and sliding down glaciers, forging a path that no human had ever forged before. It's not
Oh
my
my
words, but it was the article I read.
Jesus, please.
Until after, so 36 hours of this like hiking through these. Through this like glaciers and mountains, they finally staggered into the station at Stromness. Stromness? Stromness.
Sure.
So no one would have believed that three strangers could possibly appear from nowhere at the whaling station, and certainly not from the mountains. They were like astonished that these men had like done
Yeah.
this. And yet here they were, Their hair and beards all stringy and matted because, of course, they've been out at sea for years.
Yeah.
So they just basically looked horrible. And the station manager was like, "Who the hell are you?"
Yeah.
Direct quote. And the terrible bearded man in the center of the three says very quietly, "My name is Shackleton."
Dramatic.
Honestly, you go through all that and you finally find help.
Yeah.
So they get the help and then they retrieve the other three members of the James Caird and they now go back to Elephant Island to get the remaining
Thank
22
goodness.
men. And of course, it wasn't an easy trip. So
What happened?
they just had trouble getting ships to come and get them. I don't, yeah. So
They probably had to get like supplies too.
yeah, probably. So back to Elephant Island. We got Frank Wild, who Shackleton left in charge. And apparently this whole time on Elephant Island, the 22 men, were basically every single day they would lash up and stow their belongings, basically gather their belongings because the boss may come today.
Oh
Every
my
single day they're
gosh.
like they were like the boss might come today, we need to
Be ready.
gather up our stuff and be ready. So obviously the companions grew increasingly doubtful and dispirited each day that passed on. They would always just be on the lookout for this rescue ship. And they were all just like, there's no good in deceiving ourselves any longer. Basically, we're gonna die, they're not gonna come. But Shackleton was able to finally persuade this ship from Chile, the Yelcho, to come and
That's a
get them.
fun name.
Well, it was also I think not only was it hard to persuade a ship to come get them, it was also a ship that could make it through the ice, because I think
Yeah.
one or two of them tried, but they couldn't get through the ice. So this one was able to finally get through the ice. And finally, on August 30th, 1916, the saga of the Endurance and its crew came to an end.
When
The
did
men
they when did they
on
leave when did they like leave for the South George Island
when did they
the
leave?
first time, like the six?
Was it April? Yeah,
Oh my
April. So August.
that's a lot.
Yeah. So the men on Elephant Island were settling down to a lunch of boiled seal's backbone. Very yummy. When they spied the Yelcho just off the coast. It had been 128 days since the James Caird left, and within an hour of the Yelcho appearing, all ashore had broken camp and was just going crazy. We finally have our rescue ship.
Yeah.
And so I
That
think
is.
it was 20 months or something after setting out for the Antarctic. Every one of the Endurance crew was alive and safe.
Oh my
They all
gosh.
survived.
That's amazing. Not the dogs.
I know.
That's amazing. Wow.
Okay. But wait, there's still the Aurora.
Oh my gosh, I forgot all about that.
Yeah, there's still the other half of the other ship that was putting
Yeah.
down the depots. So they were basically stranded in the south side because the Aurora had apparently been blown from its anchorage and driven out to sea.
Oh
And somehow the ship
well, if they had just parked that ship, it would have
drifted.
been fine. They needed to put the parking
I
brake
know, right?
on.
I know, they forgot to put the parking brake and it drifted all the way to New Zealand.
What?
Yeah, it drifted all the way to New Zealand.
How,
And
what? I'm sorry. How do you just
Shackleton
drift all the way to New Zealand? Like, surely.
just boat just oh my gosh.
Surely
And
you
the
noticed.
Titanic couldn't even make it to
They couldn't change their course. Like,
Oh my gosh.
How do you just drift
So Shackleton,
to
I know. So Shackleton personally went to New Zealand to like join the Aurora and sailed her back to rescue the Ross Sea
I'm
Party.
just like,
So not only
what are
had
you
he,
doing here?
yeah, so not only did he survive this whole thing and like go back and like he went back to New Zealand, got the Aurora that had drifted all the way from Antarctica to New Zealand. He drove it all the way back to Antarctica to rescue this other party.
Oh my gosh. Oh, did it drift because they had like left the ship?
I guess they like anchored and then
Because I'm
they
imagining that there
anchored
was like
because
someone
remember
like,
they were supposed to get off the ship and then immediately start like moving their way northward and like so I guess like they might have come back and then it was gone. I don't know.
it must have been because I'm imagining like the
Would
crew is
suck.
on the ship and they're just like, it seems like we're kind of drifting a little bit,
No,
and they're like,
I
oh
doubt
no, we're
anyone was on the
in New
ship,
Zealand.
right? So,
Well, could you
they
imagine the ship
actually the
showing up
group.
in New Zealand and the people
I
finding it being
know.
like, where is everyone?
Literally, that'd be so creepy, like a ghost ship.
Yeah.
So the Aurora group actually completed their mission of like laying out all these depots, and
Yeah,
but
go.
unfortunately, three of the lives had been lost.
Oh no.
I don't think their story was that dramatic. I didn't really, there's not really a lot on the Aurora, but
Okay.
basically they like accomplished their mission, their half of the mission, and then they were
Yeah.
stranded. Yeah. So, okay. So now we're just gonna like give a little summary of like the rest of Shackleton's life.
Okay.
To like kind of like wrap up. I know this has been like really long, but I just thought it
No,
was like
it's
a
been
credible
so
story.
interesting. If this is not a movie already, it should be. I
I think it
be
is.
so anxious the entire time, but I would watch it.
I know. I know. So finally, Shackleton got to return to England in May 1917, and like Emily was like, "Where were you? What happened?"
Yeah. She's
Like,
like, I remarried, sorry.
oh my gosh, I can't even like imagine like what she was thinking during
And
like.
then, like, they have like somewhat young kids, right? Like, they can't
Yeah,
be like older than like
I.
10.
Well, when did they get married? Didn't they get
After like
married
his
like in
first
1912?
expedition? Oh, well,
Yeah.
then how did they have three kids before that? Maybe that's why he spent an extra month.
Wait. I thought they got married in like. Oh, just kidding. 1904.
Okay, so their kids at the point of him leaving couldn't have been any older than like 9.
Yeah. Okay, so he gets back. Europe is still in the middle of World War One.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. So he is suffering from like a heart condition, of course, made worse by his arduous journeys. And he was too old to be drafted, but he still volunteered to go into the army
Oh my gosh.
to go to war after all this, even though he didn't have to. But it was a different time back then, I guess. Like,
Yes, for
you
sure.
know.
Well, I mean, when your country is like actually like under like direct assault, I feel like you probably want to do everything you can for it. Certainly not leaving for an Antarctic expedition, I feel like, but you know, it's okay.
Right. So he kind of like went on like a lot of, you know, war missions kind of thing. He was drinking heavily. And then on another mission, he fell ill. And experts think that he probably had like a heart attack, but he was like okay. And then he somehow was like part of like the Russian Civil War, like afterwards, before being for like a hot sec.
What
before
is his
being,
life?
I don't know. And then
It's so random.
I know he was discharged from the army in October 1919, but he retained his rank of major.
All right.
So like 2 years
They were like, you
doing
have done
that.
this quite enough. Thank
Literally.
you.
For like 2 years of that. Yeah. So in the end, Ernest Shackleton never did reach the South Pole or cross Antarctica.
Oh.
He did actually launch one more expedition to the Antarctic, and actually, quite a few of the Endurance veterans rejoined him for this expedition. They're like,
Jeez Louise, they
they're
would
like,
death wish. I'd be like, I'm never getting on a ship with you again.
they're like, third time's the charm, right?
Yeah.
But like, the men like noticed that Shackleton like appeared a little weaker, and didn't have like the same optimism that he had, like the spirit that had like kind of kept him going.
Right.
And on January 5th, 1922, with the ship at South Georgia, he had a heart attack in his bunk and he died at 47.
Wow, that's so sad.
So when he died, they were heavily in debt from all like the expeditions.
Yeah.
And his small estate consisted of a value of about like nowadays 300 or
Oh.
$32,306. Back
Dang.
then it was like 556 pounds.
Wow.
Which went to his wife, and Emily survived her husband by 14 years, dying in 1936.
Wow. Wow.
So even though he died like on this like third expedition, Frank Wild took the ship to Antarctica, but it proved unequal to the task, and after a month of trying to like penetrate through like that ice, he set a course. He was like, let's just go to Elephant Island. And from the safety of the deck, this is how history.com like ended it. I just thought it was like really nice ending.
Gosh.
From the safety of the deck, he and his comrades peered through their binoculars at the beach, where so many of them had lived in fear and in hope.
Wow.
And Macklin, which was, remember, the original
The
Endurance
surgeon.
surgeon, he wrote, "Once more I see the old faces and hear the old voices, old friends scattered everywhere. But to express all I feel is impossible."
Wow.
And with that, they ended up just turning north one last time and went home.
Wow, that's wild.
Yeah. So that's Ernest Shackleton and the Endurance and
Wow.
more.
So I had to look up the Endurance to see if there's any like on Wikipedia. I was looking up to see if there's any like in pop culture kind of thing. I don't see it, but I was reading the names of the crew, and one of the people, the carpenter, Harry McNish, in quotations, his nickname is Chippy. And
Oh.
so I'm guessing that the cat was named Mrs. Chippy because it was like his cat.
Oh, I didn't. That's cute.
Don't
Thank
you
you for looking
think
that
that
up.
would probably be it?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and then he had to like shoot his cat.
Well, I hope that they did
Rest
not
in peace.
make him shoot his cat.
I would hope not either. Rest in peace, Miss Chippy, and all the small little dogs
Yeah.
that. Oh.
Yeah. Wow. That was a really intense, like, wild story.
I know. I don't even know how I like figured like found this. I was just like looking at
Yeah.
like trying to look up like history. I was like, history that no one knows about.
Yeah. Oh, it was his cat. There's a picture of it. Of
Really?
him. Yeah, Mrs.
Wait, can you
Chippy.
send me the picture? I'll post it
Oh,
on.
okay. Do you want me to share my screen right now? I'll share it. You can see. Look
Okay.
at, there's Mrs. Chippy.
Oh my goodness.
Aww.
Yes.
That's so funny. Wow. That's wild. Yeah, I'll send you the picture, Mrs. Chippy, or maybe you can find it,
Perfect.
but wow, that was a, I've never heard of it. How have I never heard of that?
I don't know. There was a, it looks like a documentary,
Oh my gosh,
made.
Mrs. Chippy has her own Wikipedia page or his own Wikipedia page.
Oh my gosh. But oh yeah. So there was a documentary made about the Endurance in 2001,
Wow.
actually. And it looks like it got actually really good reviews. So
Oh
I
my
don't know where.
gosh.
You watch
Mrs.
it?
Chippy got its name because once aboard, it followed McNish the carpenter around like an overly attentive wife.
I love that so
That's so
much. I love Mrs.
cute.
Chippy. It's amazing.
Wow.
So
Oh
yeah.
my gosh, wait, hold on.
What?
Mrs. Chippy had an ordeal.
What do you mean?
Someone, the storekeeper, Thomas Ordelais,
Yeah.
entered in his diary on the 13th of September 1914, an extraordinary thing happened during the night. The tabby cat jumped overboard through one of the cabin portals, and the officer on watch, Lieutenant Hunson, heard her screams and turned the ship smartly round and picked her up. She must have been in the water for 10 minutes or more. The cat was
Oh.
retrieved by the ship's biologist, Robert Clark, using one of his sample nets.
Oh my gosh. She was like frozen.
Oh. Oh my gosh.
Oh.
McNish was very attached to Mrs. Chippy and never forgave Shackleton for having him killed.
I mean, honestly, like what would be the
Oh,
problem with keeping Mrs. Chippy?
wait. So McNish died, it says, destitute in Wellington, New Zealand in September 1930, and was buried with full naval honors in an unmarked grave in Kauri Cemetery, sorry. The New Zealand Antarctic Society placed a headstone on the grave in 1959. To this, they added a life-size bronze statue of Mrs. Chippy in 2004 to
What?
complete a tribute and memorial to the carpenter and his much-loved cat.
I love that.
And in February 2011, Mrs. Chippy and expedition member Pierce Blackborrow were featured on a postage stamp issued by the South Georgia and South Sandwich Islands.
That's amazing. Mrs. Chippy lives on.
Mrs. Chippy lives on.
That's amazing.
Wow. Yeah. That's
That's
so
amazing.
funny. I did
Wow.
not realize that. Wait, hold on. An opera for primary school children, Shackleton's Cat by Russell Heppelwhite, was commissioned by the English Touring Opera in 2015. There's also a picture book about her.
Wow.
And Kate Atkins' novel Case Histories features a cat named Mrs. Chippy after the cat on board the Shackleton's ship Endurance. Wow, Mrs. Chippy! What
I had no
a
idea she was that
dude.
popular.
Well, he, yeah, very
Oh
popular.
yeah, he.
Yeah. What?
Wow. This has been quite a smattering of facts.
Wow, yeah. Oh, wait. It says that Shackleton's like gave the order and they gave her or him a bowl of sardines right
When?
before.
Oh no. Gave him like a last meal? That's so sweet.
Why is there so much on Mrs. Chippy? There's more
I
on Mrs.
love.
Chippy than there is on like his wife.
My gosh.
That's funny. Wow. R.I.P. Mrs. Chippy.
R.I.P.
Wow. Cool.
Well,
That certainly is a smattering of facts.
yeah. Guess we'll see you next week.
Yeah. Bye, guys.
Bye.